Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
She went to such extreme, Sherry Papany, and it was just shocking what we learned in that documentary. She went to a former boyfriend's house. She planned all this out. And she had been communicating with this guy for quite some time. And he seemed to be a guy who would just, whatever you need, I am there for the hot girl. That seemed to be kind of, you know, what he was. And she went there and requested that he injure her to make it look as if she had been kidnapped. Like literally ran into hockey poles or sticks, had him shoot hockey pucks at her, had him go to the Hobby Lobby, get a wood cottering iron, and then brand her with the word Exodus in her back. It stopped eating or ate very little. So she was emaciated by the time she came out of this when she claimed that she had been abducted by the two Hispanic women and then dropped on the side of the highway. That's kind of extreme. I mean, that's just shocking that one would go to those lengths. I know you just explained a lot of it, but to go to those lengths of pain and suffering and also watching your family search for you in a nationwide search, on earth? How is someone like that justifying that to their twisted personality disordered self?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of thinking going on beyond the need for the attention and this emotional gratification over watching the news and seeing, oh, there's her face plastered all over the country, you know, on national news, and getting gratification from that. Clearly, there's no empathy for anyone else. And that goes back to the gaps in her personality. But yeah, it really is to an extreme. When I saw the photos of the injuries, I was just shocked. Because it gets into Munchausen territory.
Yeah.
And we know people with that disorder will, you know, do surgery on themselves, cut themselves open, and then stitch it up to try to look like they've had an operation and fool people. And these just extreme behaviors that, you know, no normal person thinks that way. No normal person could inflict pain. The burning, my God, and these scars were big. Yeah. It's like, you know, this is just somebody who's very aberrant in their way of thinking.
Does something like that, I mean, are they getting pleasure out of getting the pain, or is it more so I'm getting ready for the role, and being in the role is where the pleasure comes from? Because, you know, we hear about And people suffer from things where there's cutting and those sort of things that go yeah. on, and they're inflicting their own pain. But is that completely different than what we're talking about here in terms of how she got those injuries and then how she operates and why she operated the way she did?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing for me to wrap my mind around, because I am, of course, am a person who hates blood tests. I do everything I can to avoid pain.
Yeah.
But clearly she has a high tolerance for it. And does she get a sense of euphoria or a high out of this? Or is it just, I'm willing to sacrifice and tolerate something that seems intolerable just because of the payoff here? And my guess is it's the latter. She's just so invested in the payoff.
Yeah, it's really shocking to see what she went to. Another point that was made in the documentary, we've talked about Munchausen a little bit here, but it almost looks like there might have been a little Munchausen by proxy going on as well. If you remember the documentary there was several movies about it too, talking about Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard in Springfield, Missouri, several years ago. That's what a interesting case that was, and horrible as well. But we heard claims from Keith Papany, and I said Kevin earlier, I apologize for that, but Keith is his name, the husband, that she would have the children inhale rubbing alcohol, and didn't just stop there. She would then take tissues, soak them in rubbing alcohol, put them in plastic bags around the kids' necks so they would inhale the fumes before they went to the doctor's office where she would take them, and then they would be ill at that point yeah. in time. Expand on that a little bit, on what's going on there.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, but this person, this desperate for attention person who's trying to look like the doting mother, will sacrifice their children. And it reminded me very much of the Gypsy Rose story. And I'm just thankful that this culminated in her being away from her kids, because these kids were in danger from her. And it didn't surprise me in a way because of the extent of how she injured herself. This was just, you know, taking it in another direction, but the same basic thing going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's shocking that anyone would do that to their children. But again, it goes back to their prism and how they're looking at the world. They're not looking at it the same way. They are finding a way to justify these things and believe that they are in the right and everyone else is in the wrong, again, I think if you're not that person, it's so hard to wrap your mind around. Do you think that, I mean, obviously we've just recently learned about that in the documentary. I do wonder if there's more going on. Do these sort of things happen in a bubble like that? Or would you suspect, and it's pure speculation, there isn't anything that's come out about this, but would you suspect that maybe there was other things going on with the kids and her that were not so healthy?
Yeah, it would not surprise me. And her ability to lie and role play and cover things up, we may never completely know. But yeah, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Should more charges, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but now that we know this piece of it, should there be more charges brought against her for child abuse, or would this... is it not enough to really go down that far of a road? I know you're not an attorney, but I'm just wondering if, you know, you find this out that someone did this. Now we're talking, this is in 2016, mm-hmm. you know, almost 10 years ago. You know, is mm-hmm. that something, you know, you would recommend if you had a client there, if Keith was your client and he's saying these things to you, you know, is that something you would recommend at this point? Or would you say, you know, the kids would have to testify, all that would have to go down.
Right.
Is it worth going after this woman anymore? She's already not connected to Keith and the kids. Thank God. She's going to do her own thing now. Is it worth, you know, digging that skeleton back up? Or is it better for everybody mentally just to go, it happened, we're okay now, let's just continue on with our lives?
Yeah, it's a hard call, because it certainly may be better for the kids to not have to dredge up more. And yes, they would have to testify and certainly be interviewed. Excuse me,
sure.
but it's better for Sherry, if we're looking at what would therapy for Sherry be, to have consequences. And the more consequences for her behavior, the better, because, you know, it's clinically indicated that this lady has to start telling the truth mm-hmm. and she has to start facing, you know, the consequences for her behavior. And if it could be proven that she hurt her children intentionally, then I would lean toward, you know, well, number one, let's do what's right for the kids. But I would think it would be in her own best interest to have consequences.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.